Hi everyone, welcome to Psychedelic Science Conference. We are here to witness an historic event. We have, I think, 11,000 people, attendees, coming to learn more about psychedelic and their benefits and therapeutic use. We're here for the next 3 days intensely, speaking to many leaders in the space and bringing you so much more news and updates. So stay tuned. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Psychedelic Conversations. I have with me Otto Meyer. He is the head of integration at Tendawa Retreats, which is based in Tepoztlan, Mexico, and they do 5-MeO. They do a lot of work with 5-MeO, and recently they launched 5 education platform, and they are my friends. They're so beautiful, two souls creating so much educational material online, which we'll share all the links. Otto, how did you make your way into the Tendawa? Tell us a bit more about your story.
So I met Victoria. I used to work with Shri Gadasi, which I'm sure you're familiar. You've had her on the podcast.
Third time returning guest.
Yeah, returning guest. Yeah, she's great. So I was a teacher at her integration program, and I ran that for a few years, and Victoria actually was one of the students of the program, and so we connected really well. She loved the way that I taught, and so when they started Tendawa, they invited me on as just an integration guide for folks coming through the retreats, and then they really loved the work that I was doing and became more specialized in creating kind of like a really unique protocol for working with 5 specifically. Mm-hmm. So then from there we kind of collaborated, and now it's expanding into 5 and creating protocols for integration, and it's lovely. I love working with them.
That's amazing. And do you specifically work with 5-MeO medicine or any other medicine specifically?
In terms of integration with Tendawa and 5, I'm only working to help people integrate 5, 5-MeO before experiences.
Yeah.
But I also have a private practice, Soul and Psyche, where I work with folks who are working with ayahuasca or psilocybin, really any medicine, really any state of experience that is not ordinary.
Yeah.
So, with Tendawa, it's mostly 5. And then my private practice, it's kind of like expansive.
Tell me about your private practice.
So I started, maybe I've been doing it full time for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I operate sort of an integration guiding service, so like integration coaching.
Sure.
And I use a framework that I created myself. It's a mix of Jungian analysis, internal family systems therapy, some embodied listening, and I really try to incorporate more soul as opposed to like a therapy or pathology approach, and try to like create space for people to be seen as whole and divine and more curious, as opposed to like looking for something that's wrong or needs to be changed or fixed, but more like making spaciousness for growing awareness.
Yeah. I love the your curation and integration. I think, do you also find that the integration space is quite still very much in an infant state? Or
yeah, I feel like I think that integration is quite vague.
Yeah.
And I think all the education that I've gotten around it and heard, I felt like I had to carve my own path in it, because all the education I got was was extremely vague. It was really like, you need to meditate, or here are all these practices.
Exactly. Journal,
and I'm like, journal or whatever. And I'm like, I just had a really traumatic experience and it was overwhelming. And I'm like,
I need to journal?
Right. And then I just ground. And I'm like, no, like there's so much more, like, you know, and and then I found with a lot of other people who were really struggling, who needed more than just an integration circle to help support. So I think so. I think it's tremendously lacking, and that's where a lot of like my work stems from, I think.
Thank you for doing this work. So so you're bringing your background education, your field experience, and then bring them all into a structure. Is it like a structured integration system that you would call it?
Yes and no. It's definitely a framework, but I'd like to really start where someone is at, and really let their system, their soul lead. So I have all of this framework, but I really only use what feels like it's coming from them.
More intuitive. Like, more like guided by the person and the participant. And I think that's why I love, that's probably why I was drawn to your, getting to know your work more. And Shiri did say that. I think that's the missing piece. I think with a lot of the integration conversations we're having lately, it's like you might as well write a book and then just publish it and everyone becomes an integration coach. But it's not as simple, linear, and that simple, right? It's more, it's a very intuitive, intricate. It's almost like you're connecting with the person all over again to help them process by creating this container so they can trust, which is very rare in the, you know, Western sort of life, right? Isolated. And I think there's the life that I, you know, I witness, and I'm also in the same sort of field as you. There's a lot of lack of trust, knowing that they should have someone to tell them what to do. And it's very difficult to help them find themselves in the process, which I think is the key.
That's where
the intuitiveness come in, right? So how do you tell someone, look, you've got everything you need inside of you? It's just so vague that it sounds like a guru telling them, don't seek anything outside, it's all in you.
I'm so glad
which is true which is true, but then again, like, what does it look like in a practical day-to-day?
Well, I think that, like, that goes back to the sort of like the integration being in its infancy, is I find that our approach, like, generally is very masculine. It's very like, oh, do these steps and like you have what you need, you're everything. But I think that the intuitive approach is a more receptive, it's a more feminine, it's a more yin approach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the shift that really makes it profound, is it's stemming from not telling someone they have the tools or creating, helping someone create meaning. I think it's helping someone create an experience of them actually experiencing that, knowing, like, oh my God, they're coming to it on their own, and there's a real, like, somatic embodied awareness of the state of consciousness that maybe they grasped in ceremony. Or, you know, I think sometimes, like, the insights are almost the most superficial layer of the integration, where people, like, you know, sometimes they'll come to my sessions and they'll be like, I have all these insights, and they wrote all this stuff down, and I'm like, that's exciting, but, like, I want to feel, like, what does that feel like, and where does it, like, pull you, and what edges of your personality does it kind of, like, push on, you know? So I think it's more about embodiment, it's more about really digesting something, as opposed to doing more and more structure and all that
doing
stuff.
Doing more, you just said it. A lot of people, they think integration is doing more.
Yeah, it's like a checklist of, did you do all your practices, and
I love what you said about, hang on a minute, I just had a very traumatic experience. Like,
be with me.
What do I do with this now?
Right.
Yeah, how do I bring it home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of life force in that moment. Like, when someone has, like, a big experience, I feel like they're holding something. There's a lot of energy there.
Yeah.
And I feel, for me at least, my approach with integration is, like, I want to help them digest that energy that's present, as opposed to, like, tell them intellectually or create
step one, two, three,
or meaning or all this kind of stuff, you know. It's more about the utilizing and then the gold that is the felt sense of what's in the room.
Exactly. This thing, the energy that they hold on to, that thing. That's exactly when I see people going through these big flood, those experiences, and then suddenly, like, it's so precious.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to this. I don't know what to do with this. Can someone help me? That's integration, right? Yeah,
exactly.
First time I heard this.
Yeah. And it's like a child. It's like a newborn. And it's still an incubation. Like, they still have it. And I think that's why it feels like a crime when people are like, do all these things. And I'm like, there's like this sacred being that's in me, and I don't even know it, or I don't know what to do with it. And it's like,
I need to get to know it.
Yeah.
I need to feel it. I need to carry it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so fragile. I'm holding on to it.
Yeah.
All these complex emotions around it.
Yeah. And I think that's why, like, I think sometimes people are like, well, you don't need integration. It's natural. It'll just happen. Where I find in a one-on-one setting, when you have two people, and something I really love about, I guess, the framework that I found is there's this idea in Jungian analysis called the therapeutic third. Like, there's two people that come together, and then there's this third
I've heard that one
thing that happens in the room, and it's like, to me, just creating that space for that to be present, I think that's where the integration or the birthing happens, is you have someone who really is listening and someone who's really present, and there's a safe container for me to bring, like, here's this infant, that thing in me, or, you know, there's room for it to be, and for it to, like, maybe express itself or move, or something new to happen, for it to grow. And I think that's really nurtured by a one-on-one environment.
And what I'm hearing is that just get rid of your books. Let's just be with what's happening here.
Yeah.
Hold this energy and be in it. I think I heard, what's his name? He's also a young trained person. I forgot his name now, but he talks about once you create the container and there's the two people in there, the bird energy coming in.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I had chills down my spine. It was so true.
Yeah.
And I think in medicine circles, we call it witnessing.
Yeah.
So there's this third witnessing is happening. And yeah, I guess just being present with the person and just allow them to safely move through this thing they're holding.
Right. And I think it's like a special moment, because I think when it's really happening, I feel like this emptiness, like I'm empty of my own personality stuff and my story and what I'm going through, and they are almost like, it's like we're both coming to acknowledge this third thing, and when that third thing shows up, it's really like, it gives me chills. It really is like the only presence that feels like it's in the room. And I think if we can nurture that, I think integration ends up happening on its own accord.
So Otto, how do we reinforce this into the mainstream? You have a hard work to do.
Yeah, I think I started off just like hammering home, like, integration's important, and then people are like...
But they're just going to associate it with the standard mainstream checklist integration.
Which is so like, it's so like, it's way too simple. It's way too simple.
It's actually a non-doing, if anything.
Right. I think what it truly is, and not going to take credit for this came from ayahuasca for me, is I think it's the integration of the feminine. I think it's the it's truly our culture being able to value listening and slowing down and being. And in a true sense, and I think that not like, oh, I'll do that every once in a while, but like in the way that we interact with our friends, our family, the way we work or go through the world, that the integration of I'm slowing down and I'm listening and I'm receiving my experience, as opposed to the doing, bettering, telling, like that sort of like
improving,
masculine. Yeah, improving,
making something of this experience other than what I've just experienced.
Exactly, yeah. There's having to do something more with it or whatever, as opposed to let it change you, you know, like.
I just love that.
Yeah.
If I hear of anything.
I love that we're in similar work, because you get it.
That good piece of Grisola. The 13th floor of our students club at the first moment that I think online ever can be used.
So Joel and Victoria, they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And that's why you're head of the integration. So coming back to the real world. So how do we... of course, I'd love to have you back again and again and again, because this is what I've tried for.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the work of the medicine is lost in translation.
Yeah.
And we need to come back to the really root of what this is.
Yeah.
And we need more of your style of integration.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think it's you know, the first dieta experience that I had, I was in the Amazon with two wonderful teachers, Estefano Lindo Shipibo folks, and did a month of isolation, a lot of ayahuasca, and when I came out, I asked the shaman, how do I integrate this? It's like one of the most profound experiences I've ever had.
Like the Western mind comes in and says, what do I do?
And he just like laughed at me. And he was like, this word integration, you guys use this all the time. He's like, I don't know what this means. He's like, that's,
yeah.
I said, you have to come home. You have to go home to New York. I don't, you know. And I think that's when it really hit me, that we have these experiences. And then we then go back into our culture and our society, which has a very specific way of seeing and doing things that's quite counter to what the medicine.
That's exactly why it touched me.
Yeah. And then we plug it into this, and then we try to integrate this medicine with that system, and it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So it's about being with the experience and letting it change you.
Yeah.
And follow the threads of small, very almost like misses the perception, subtle, like breadcrumbs, follow them and just build them through over time.
Yeah.
For me, that's integration.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's almost like every day, even if it's a little tiny thing, you do something very differently than you would normally do.
Yeah.
And then you build on that, and you build on that, and you build on that. And then one day you look back and say, wow, I think I have changed a lot.
Yeah.
For me, that's integration.
Yeah.
It's not like, what can I do in the next 2 weeks, the 3 months, or the 6 months? What are my checklists? You know, I don't want to lose this. There's also this scarcity mindset.
Yeah, people get really scared of losing the feeling, especially with five. I notice that a lot. People get really like gripped and afraid that they're going to lose it.
That's something comes up a lot. in our communities, so when they touch something very overwhelmingly connected, and you know, for the first time, they're so beautiful, you know, in that space, they say, okay, what do I do not to lose this? I'm scared I'm going to lose this feeling. But for me, that's like the scarcity mindset. It is always there for you.
Yeah.
Once you learn how to come back and connect again and again, right?
Yeah, and there's something about like, I think the irony of that is you're losing it with your grip.
By saying
I'm so afraid of losing it. It's like, well, you're surely not connected right now. Like as you're gripping, you know, very tight. Yeah. I also feel like it's beautiful. You know, I think we come in and out of awareness, you know, something I love about the Jungian approach is there's so much in holding paradox and like just being able to withstand paradox. Be like it's you know, some days I'll be connected, some days I won't be connected. And what I always tell people who are really afraid is you may lose it and it will absolutely come back. It'll always come back.
In different ways. Different shape, different energy, but it's there. Once you know it, you cannot know it again.
Right. It'll always come back. And if I think if you have enough space to let it leave, it will come back in new ways, in more beautiful ways. And even the process of losing it can be really beautiful, you know?
Yeah. Teaching us the cyclical living of letting go.
There's a lot of trust that's built in that with life. I think you start to trust life as you lose things and they come back.
I always thought it's in the losing that we're rooted, not accumulating.
I like that a lot. And it really, I think it goes back to kind of this fundamental philosophy of like, you know, with the patriarchal sort of like doing, it's like, I'm in the front seat, I'm in control. We're in the integration process of being like, I'm listening and this thing is going to change me, you're allowing life to lead.
Yes.
As opposed to being like, I have to control this or I have to figure it out or else life's not going to take care of me. It's like, I think if you would just try it as an experiment to see if life would take care of you, I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah. You know? And this is what the medicine is teaching again and again and again. And I think we'll learn. We'll learn eventually. Yeah. I think we're getting there slowly. There's a bunch of us that get it and feel it. And then we will drive this and reinforce it and continue to talk about it.
Yeah. And I think we're like longing for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think like so many folks are truly at the heart of hearts are longing for that more feminine, like just being able to be truly, you know.
Yeah, for sure. What brings you to this work? Your personal story in your life?
It brought me to integration.
Oh, just the medicine work in everything you do, that you're being.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll start with the medicine and then integration. So I used to be a professional motorcycle racer. That was like my whole life in focus for a long time. And then I had a friend who got very hurt, became a quadriplegic. And I got very hurt and I stopped racing. And when I stopped racing, I fell into a really deep depression. I lost a lot of relationships. I lost my identity, everything. My whole life fell apart. Had no money. And I was very suicidal and at a very serious, I would say like dark night of the soul moment. And through that, I discovered meditation and that kept me afloat for a long time. And I went to India and spent a lot of time living at ashram and studying meditation. But I had a mental breakdown when I was in India and I realized that like the meditation was keeping me afloat, but I was still like something in my soul. I was suffering like tremendously. And I don't know how I heard about ayahuasca, but I had heard about ayahuasca and I left India and sat in a ceremony and the medicine basically brought up all of my trauma. It's like, you have all this trauma. This is like kind of like what's causing the suffering. And I cried for about 6 hours. And I think after that, that kind of was the first entry point for me was, it was that moment with ayahuasca. And then what brought me to integration specifically was just seeing such a lack of it and feeling really indebted to the miracle that was the experience that I was given. I just felt like I really owed the medicine like some type of like, how can I help? And it was very clear to me that integration was the space that,
I guess what I love about the medicine work, you know, I had an amazing friend when I used to work as a coach on online space. There's this beautiful soul, a member of our community from Jamaica, and he used to always call me sister, and he would say something like this: sister, you know, we're all born with a medicine pouch. What's in your medicine pouch? And that's the unique gift that you're born with. So in this medicine work, I believe that the medicine also alongside of healing and cleansing and clearing us from the traumas, it's also activating and amplifying the gift that you're born with, right? Yeah. We're all born with.
Yeah.
And so no surprise that you kind of went into the integration path, I guess it's because you're really good at it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that that's something that sometimes I see a lot of people get really passionate when they first sit with medicine, and the immediate impulse is like, I want to serve medicine, like I have to become like a shaman or whatever. And I always think it's like really funny because like I think it's more like that. It's like it's like you have these innate gifts, and to bring those into the world, I think, is an act of self-love.
Yeah.
And it's an act of love for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
as opposed to having to do the like standard quote, like, oh, to serve the medicine or to...
Let me just pass.
Yeah, I just kind of like, yeah, pass the cup and everyone's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's about finding what your gift is and serve the world with that.
Yeah.
So wonderful. We have a term for that. You know, drinking one cup of ayahuasca and then wanting to serve.
Yeah, what is that?
My shaman friend calls it, she calls it the amplified ego, you know, like reincarnation of Jesus. Like
yes.
Thinking that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a few terms actually, but I don't want to say it here. But yeah, we have all these terms, which is not a bad thing. It's about identifying and then sort of like recognizing and then hopefully bringing them back into the community.
Right. Which is also like a great, I love being that like safety net for people. Mm-hmm. Like I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that.
Yeah.
And it's been nice to be their integration guide.
Yeah.
To like gently and without shame, just kind of guide them down from the mountaintop of the ego to eventually be like, you know, that was silly, but like, I'm actually just going to like be a better father, I think, you know.
Exactly. Ground them back in here in the reality.
Yeah.
It's like there's another guy that's so phenomenal. They did a workshop. He spoke of this because when he had his own breaking moment, he said that he really thought he was reincarnated in you know, Jesus coming back.
Yeah.
And then he says to the crowd, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as, you know, as long as you follow certain protocols, like there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Mm-hmm. I really love that approach. Like there's nothing wrong. We're not shaming. We're not.
No,
it's just like,
not.
Let's all come back again together, right?
Yeah. Reminds me, there was I think Ram Dass told a story about his brother was in, had maybe I think a spontaneous like awakening experience. And he was in that sort of space. And he was in a hospital, and Ram Dass came to visit him, and he was like so happy to see him. He's like, Ram Dass, you know, he's like, tell them that, you know. And he was like, listen, it's okay. It's just the problem is you think you're the only one.
Oh, that's it. Powerful.
It's like, it's okay that you think that you're Jesus. The problem is that you think you are the one.
Only one.
As opposed to like, you're it's not, all of us, you know.
Billions of us.
Yeah, just billions of Jesus out here.
So beautiful. Thank you, Otto, for everything you do. Before we let you go, share with us your projects, apart from working with Tandava Retreats. Anything you want to share with our listeners, the Tandava Retreat? I mean, I keep having Victoria and Joel back all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll probably speak to them tomorrow, but tell us like, what's in the pipeline, your project, your personal projects, offerings?
Mm-hmm. So certainly working with Tandava and all their projects where they're going on, as well as Five, the education platform, a lot of beautiful things going there, working on some new trainings for them. I'm also working on teaching my integration methodology.
Mm-hmm.
So I do some mentorship for therapists and other coaches who want to learn the method that I teach. And I'm working on a program to kind of synthesize it into a method so I can help people learn how to hold better space, because it's like, I think it's needed.
It is.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We'll add all your links and your program links and everything about you in the show notes. I have a feeling you're going to be one of our returning guests.
I would love to be back.
In-house, returning guest.
Yes.
All the time. Thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, thank you.
And all the best, and I'll speak soon.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed this session. Feel free to get in touch with Otto or myself. Drop in the comments, share your experiences, and ask about integration. I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Bye.